And welcome to the teachings of Co Church. We want to grow in our relationship with Jesus and help you to do the same. We are passionate about real community, so please reach out to us and connect by visiting our website www.co-church.org or joining us in person every Sunday as we gather. We hope this talk is helpful.
I'm going to share a message with us this morning. I want to welcome anybody who is connecting to us online or is connecting to us outside of this space that we call home as Co-Church. We record, we produce, we make all of our messages available online through our website. They're on YouTube and they'll be in podcast format as well. So you can always go back, you can listen to them, you can go over again, or if you don't find yourself happening to be in the room, it's always going to be available for you. The last couple of weeks, my beautiful wife, Tam, has been brilliantly teaching us, and she has been teaching us from two sources. One is a song, another one is a book. The song is titled, Heaven Lives in Me, and then the book that she's referenced and has drawn some inspiration from is a book called Heaven Is in This House. It's a book that both of us read, having been a part of what we were a part of a long time ago, and something that fundamentally shifted and shaped the way that we see what the church is. So heaven lives in me, and heaven is in this house. And what she so brilliantly articulated is this bigger picture plan of God, that we have the opportunity to be heaven carriers in this world, that we have God's Spirit with us and alive in us, and that we can walk out our everyday lives with heaven in us as individuals and heaven with us as a collective or a community. And if you want to go back, by all means, do so to catch up on what she's taught. I'm not going to attempt to try and summarize and reframe everything of what she spoke of. But in essence, she was laying a foundation for what we want to be speaking about over the next 3 weeks. Because we have this context of heaven lives in me as an individual. And this is what I love about Christianity, what I love about the faith that we profess in following Jesus, that this is personal. God, the God who created, the God of majesty, the God of the heavens and the earth, he wants a personal relationship with you. That this journey can be personal and unique and real to every single one of us. But it leads us to a point, and it's where Tam was taking us to, in the grand scheme of God's plan, as we look at the story of the world and the cycles of humanity and history, which unfortunately do tend to repeat themselves, we find God wanting to be at work in us personally, but leading to a place where he is at work with us collectively as the church. And so the next 3 weeks, what we're doing is we're taking that statement from heaven lives in me to heaven lives in us as a community. And so we want to be speaking about the church. That's what the collective community of the followers of Jesus are known as the church. The church is absolutely not the physical structure in which we find ourselves today. This building is just a building until you and I set foot in it, because you and I bring the church to this space. We are the church. The church is essentially people, and it is a people that gathers. It is a people who are equipped, but church is people. The Bible speaks of the church in the New Testament, which is that portion of the Bible after Jesus has finished his incredible work. And it speaks of the church in metaphor. A metaphor is a way to bring a picture to a topic to help us better understand it. The three metaphors that we're going to speak about, which we see being emphasized in the New Testament of the Bible, is the church being a body, the church being a home or a house, and the church being the bride. I want to speak to you today about the church being a body. I want to look at a passage in the Bible. It's from 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of the beautiful gift that is us as the individual, and speaks of God wanting to empower and equip us, the individual, by gifting His Spirit, which is what Tam has been speaking about as well. But then it goes on to speak of now the collective, and this is what it says. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, and I'm taking some liberty here, white or black, colored or Indian, English or Afrikaans, Zulu or Xhosa, professional or not, doctor or teacher, male or female, all those things that we have used to identify and locate ourselves, they are perhaps a starting point, but now there is something greater to be identified by. They're no longer useful. We now need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how this makes you more significant and not less. You are significant. It is undeniable. And not because I know you in depth, but because you are a created being by the Creator who had intentions for you to live a life of significance. And so you are unique and to be celebrated. You bring something special to the table. You are amazing. You can even pat yourself on the back if you want to. Okay. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different, and difference is good. I like difference. I want us to be different in our individuality. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. We all like to go down the road of self-importance. And what we know to be true is that God is a God who responds favorably to humility, not to self-importance or self-righteousness or self-edification. So I want you to think about how being a part of something bigger than yourselves keeps us in this healthy tension of humility. There is nothing like rubbing up against another human being to challenge your notion of self-importance. In all of our flaws, good things, challenges, and that is actually the strength of the church, not its weakness. The beauty of us finding ourselves interwoven with the lives of other people where we are challenged, confronted, perhaps even offended, is an opportunity for growth. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Please hear this next part. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. My hope is that we will become more of a community where one part hurts, we enter into the hurt and also into the healing. That we navigate the valleys that are the reality of the life in which we live, and we do so in authenticity and sincerity, not always having to have the solution, but standing alongside each other to at least walk through the dark times. But I am also hoping that a sign of our maturity and our community is that we can legitimately celebrate the good things that are happening in others' lives and not just in our own. It can be fairly easy to portray a sense of hurting while others are hurting, but let me tell you, it's hard to fake celebrating the good things that are happening in somebody else's life because you are riddled with jealousy or envy or... But how cool will it be that we can legitimately celebrate when others are celebrating? You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. I'm going to move through this next portion fairly quickly. So again, if you need to go back to it, go back to the recording. If you need to write some stuff down, by all means, do so. But when we think about a body, now remember we are talking about the body in metaphor to the church. A body is only a body through connectedness. That is key to a group being defined as a body. See, a body is not a grouping of individual parts that are segregated. A body is a grouping of parts that are connected. And so our connection is absolutely essential in order for us to be legitimately defined as a body. And we are to encourage, inspire a continued deepening of connection. And so that is why I celebrated the fact that we had life groups meeting this week. Now, I know we didn't land somebody on the moon or we didn't see the Red Sea parted, but in my books, that is something to celebrate because it is worthy of a celebration that there is a facilitation for connectedness. And we will continue to celebrate that and we will continue to invite it. And so if you are here this morning and you didn't find yourself in a life group or what we also call a serve group, because we want to see that being emphasized as well, please consider stepping into something like that. Because that connection is what ensures we are a body. It's individual and collective, not either or, it is both and. Both are important. A body is about two things. It is about form and it is about function. Form gives definition to an object. It defines an object or a person. Darren, I've used your name plenty this morning and I hope I haven't used it in vain up until this point. But I know Darren is in the building, not just because I can sense his presence, but because I can see him in form. His body gives form to who he is. The body is also about function. A body allows to physically express intent. You have a desire for something, to do something. It is the body that outworks the function of our desire. The church is known as the body of Jesus, the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ is about the church being the form of Jesus and also the function of Jesus. The big question that we all ask, and so should all of humanity, where is Jesus? Well, he is no longer physically present in body, individually speaking, but he is and should be present in physical form in his church. That the church giving form to Christ is that thing that others can look to see Jesus. And so is the church to be the function of Christ. That God has a will for humanity, that he has intent. His primary intent is that all of humanity would at least have the opportunity to come into personal relationship with him. That salvation for humanity is his will and intent. But there are other wills and intent. We see at the back of this sanctuary this morning, Isaiah 58. There is a will of God that the people who are in less fortunate circumstances will be looked after, cared for, provided for. And so if we think about the body of Christ being the form, so it is to be the function of Jesus. When you talk about the body, it's difficult to not speak about health and fitness. And perhaps it's because I am now in my 40s that health and fitness have become quite an important thing. I was always fairly active when I was younger, didn't necessarily have to give too much thought to it because I was either surfing or on the rugby field or doing something where I'm like, I don't need to be too intentional about this. Life just tends to happen. However, now I need to be very intentional about those moments of health and fitness. And so I've actually gained quite a fascination with human performance or optimization of who we are. And it is incredible, the world that exists. If we're wanting to look further into it, there is so much available to us with regards to health and fitness and living at our optimal state and living at our best. I want to tell you that in what I have looked at, there is a difference between health and fitness. Now, can I put a disclaimer out there? I am not a doctor. This is not medical advice. I am a pastor talking about the body in metaphor towards the church, okay? But there is a difference between health and fitness. You can be fit and not healthy. I want to just go through a few points with regards to the differences between health and fitness. Health occurs at a micro level. Fitness occurs at a macro level. The cell is the key foundation of life in the human body. It is the smallest of things. It is the micro of things. And our body can be unhealthy if just one or two cells in our body are unhealthy. Fitness at a macro level tends to operate in the bigger picture of the human parts, not so much in the cells of the human parts. So health is micro, fitness is macro. Remember, I'm talking metaphor, church, body. I'm hoping you're going to get some insights out of these, okay? Health is about this present moment, walking into the future. Fitness typically is focused on the future coming back to the present. Health is more about being. Fitness is more about achieving and performing. Health is about long-term. Fitness tends to be more short-term or finite. Now take note, I have not given any indication as to whether one is positive and one is negative, because they both have significant positives to them. The challenge I feel is if we get the priority or the foundations wrong. In my mind, the priority and the foundation is to be, any guesses? Cairns. Top of the class. I mean, incredible. You'll get a lolly afterwards, okay? The priority is to be health. That's not to say that we don't look to be fit. But if we're going to place priority or emphasis and to at least build foundation, it is to be health. If I could touch on, because I don't feel appropriate nor, the authority to speak about the church at large. I mean, who am I to do so? But there can be a tendency within certain expressions of the church where we have become so focused on the fitness of the body, the performance of the body, the achievement of the body, the looking good of the body, and perhaps have neglected the health of the body. And it is from a place of health that we are to gain fitness. And so if I could speak into what I do have authority to speak into, and that is us in a local context, we will emphasize and place priority on us being healthy. That we are going to take a long-term view. That we are going to be patient and ensure that we set in place the right things before we move on to the next things. Now, that's not to say we're not going to have short to medium term objectives, or that we're going to look to be fit to see achievement taking place, but we are to emphasize health. And so when it comes to health, and again, speaking of us individually, collectively, the metaphor of the church, of the body, when you look at health, there are components to being healthy. Nutrition is key. Activity is key. Rest is key. And community is key. For us to be in our physical state as a body, health, nutrition, what we feed on, what we put into us, what the inputs are, contribute to being healthy. Activity. Now, we're not talking about activity leading to fitness per se, but our bodies are designed to be moving. I was involved in a car accident in 1997. I was 17 years old. We were on our way back from a school rugby tournament. And on the way back, just outside of Kokstad, it was typical of today, rainy, misty, wet. We came around a corner and had a head-on collision with another car. I tore up my ankle and I snapped my femur. It was almost a compound fracture. The bone was close to coming through the skin. And so I went through the process of having operations and being in hospital. The next day, the surgeon comes into the room. And I was expecting him to kind of just be like, "I'm so sorry. Like, how can we take care of you? You just need to kind of chill, do nothing." The first thing he said to me was that you need to get out of bed and start walking. I'm like, what is going on here? And what he said to me is that your movement is going to aid your recovery. Because our bodies are designed to find healing in movement. And so if you find yourself as being a dormant part of the body, understand that there is greater health before you if you find yourself participating in the overall health of who we are. That we are designed to be moving. Now, the next key component, that there is nutrition, there is activity. The next key component is almost counter to what I've just said. Rest is essential to be healthy. If you look at, now kind of getting into that fitness realm, if you look at the top Olympic athletes' regime, their daily regime, from nutrition to activity to all of those things to improve their performance. Do you know what is right up there with how to prepare for an Olympics? Sleep. They schedule in sleep in their preparing to be at their peak. Rest is important. And so we, again, as a body, are going to be talking about rest. And you're going to find us using the word Sabbath. Now, that is not a word that we often speak about in our Western culture, but it is something of a godly principle that emphasizes conscious, scheduled rest. Because we all need it. We all need a time of rest. We all need that place where we are refreshed and refueled. And rest is grace. Grace is God at work on our behalf. Rest is the opposite of strife, of human performance alone. It is a place of resting in the grace of God. And then we have community. There are studies that are showing that to be in community is beneficial for our physiological health. Can you think about this last time that we've gone through? Isolation, social distancing, quarantining. But there is benefit in us having friends. Physiologically, it helps with our blood pressure. It helps with our chemical release through stress. To be in friendship with others is essential. You know, all of this, when it comes down to health, it's about a daily rhythm. Because health is a lifestyle, fitness is an objective. And so it's about you and I ensuring that we find ourselves in a daily rhythm of seeing health in our lives. You think about that nutrition. What are we feeding on? Are we feeding on social networks? Are we feeding on News 24? Are we feeding on all the negativity? Or are we feeding on the truth that is the living, breathing Word of God? Because it brings health into our body. It brings health into our community. And it's finding that daily rhythm, that daily lifestyle. There are certain things that I need to be doing or that I can be doing. Don't start like at the big thing. Don't start at like the, I need to read 10 chapters of the Bible tomorrow morning. Start with one small thing. Start with one verse. Just start, because it'll help all of us. We are better because of our health. Our bodies are amazing things. And they are capable of way more than we often give credit to. And so our body, the body of Christ, how much more are we capable? And guys, listen, I know what we are going through, what we have been through. I know that for many of us, and for us included, there have been times when we've gone into survival mode, protectionist mode. And it's just about if I'm okay, if my world is okay, cool. That's all I can cope with right now. And I get that, and I feel that, and I'm with that. But the body is about form and function, that the world might see Jesus.
Thank you for connecting with us. If you have any questions about today's teaching or anything else, please visit us on our website on www.co-church.org. We gather in person every Sunday here in Umhlali on the north coast of KwaZulu-Natal, and you are so welcome to join us. Until next time, my name is Hlongo Mhlongo. UJehova makakubusise, akulondoloze, makakhanyise ubuso bakhe phezu kwakho. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you.